You're listening to the Sabina Road Baptist Sermon Series. We hope this message greatly impacts your life. For more information on the mission and ministries of Sabina Road Baptist Church in Tucson, Arizona, visit us online at sabinaroad.org.
Please turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. We'll look in verses 1 through 5 this morning. Today we'll be talking about victorious Christian living. 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. People universally throw up their hands in victory. It's fun to watch the World Cup. It's fun to watch the Olympics. It doesn't matter what country somebody is from. When they win, they always do the same thing. They all go, yeah, wow, oh, yeah, me. And so, I mean, you can be from America or China, South America. It doesn't matter. People universally throw up their hands in victory. Christians are made for living victorious. See, many Christians are all too used to living defeated lives. They live defeated Christian lives. Their Christian friends live defeated Christian lives. And so they're not used to what the Bible actually says. But the Bible paints a completely different picture. See, the Bible paints a picture for believers of victory, strength, hope, and joy. Today, my prayer is that God's Word speaks to you about living in victory. Before we go to God's Word and look at the text, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Father, thank you for who you are. Lord, thank you that this day is not about a new pastor. It's about Jesus. It's always about Jesus. And so, Lord, we lift up the name of Jesus Christ today. Lord, we pray that He would be honored and glorified. Lord, I pray that You would speak through me today. The Holy Spirit would convict hearts. Lord, that I would decrease and that You would increase. Lord, we love You and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at John, 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 through 5. Read along with me. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Our first point I want to look at today is believers can know they are born of God. This is in verses 1 through 3. See, belief in Jesus and love of God's people show that you are a born-again believer. Now, important in understanding this passage is understanding that knowing is different than saving. It's the difference between a road sign and an interstate. A road sign is trying to show you something. An interstate is trying to take you somewhere. John, the Apostle John's not saying, hey, you obey God's commandments and you are a loving person that makes you a Christian. That's not what he's saying. He's saying a Christian will do these things. And that's important to understand. Some of the first points is from this first section. I got a lot of great insight from a wonderful theologian named Kevin DeYoung. And he's really helped me understand this passage a little bit. See, the problem with these first couple verses is none of us love our God and our neighbor at all times, right? You guys with me? Everybody awake? I'm just checking. Okay, we're all awake. Oh, I don't like boring church services. I'm just making sure we're awake here, all right? So the problem is that none of us always love God and always love our neighbor. So if we mean that perfect love, then that is true. But we love imperfectly. Amen? All the married people said, amen? Right? We love imperfectly. Problem is, as Christians, we've often equated obedience with sinless perfection. And so we read a passage like this in 1 John. We read other passages in the book of 1 John, and we feel guilt and shame. And instead of being comforted by this passage, we feel condemned. But I hope that you understand this, brothers and sisters. See, a believer's works can be truly good without being perfectly good. Let me say that again. A believer's works can be truly good without being perfectly good. That you and I can live in such a way that pleases God. Failure is not our only option. Thankfully, God is not like us. God is not temperamental, irritable, petty, and ready to pounce. Now, we're like that, but God's not like that. And some relate to God only as judge and never as Father. Now, make sure you understand this part. God is our judge. We will stand before Him one day. And as believers, we will stand righteous because of Jesus. But we will stand before our Maker. Believers and unbelievers alike. But if you are a Christian, then you are a child of God. You are one of His children. And so that makes God not just our judge, but our Heavenly Father as well. And that's important to understand. Now, my lovely wife over there, the smoking hot lady over there, the little bow on her head, that's my wife. And I got a little girl and a little baby boy over there. And my little girl drew this picture for me. Pretty good. It's got mommy and daddy and Jude and herself. It's got a nice rainbow on it, because that's what you do. And it's got her name, Annalise, written all over it. And to me, as a father, this is beautiful. It's pleasing. It's good. Now, the Guggenheim and the Louvre, they might not be calling for this picture anytime soon, and that's okay. But you know what? I know my daughter. I know her capabilities because why? I'm her father. I love her. I know her. And this is done from a sincere and from a good, honest heart. And I am pleased with her. And as children of God, our only option is not failure. That we can live a pleasing life for our Father. See, in Christ, we are greatly loved by the Father. And in Christ, we can please the Father. Not in our own merit, not in our own strength, not in our own abilities, but in what Jesus Christ has done. In Christ, we can please our Father. Amen. You guys awake? Okay, I'm just checking here. I don't know what kind of church this is, but I want to get a little excited, all right? Look at verse 2-3. See, loving God's people means loving God and keeping His commandments. Look at verse 2. It said, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. See, loving God and loving His people are two sides of the same coin. Because the Bible says that all man was created in the image of God. Now, it's a marred, it's a skewed image because of sin, but man is still created in the image of God. And God's Word says, if you say that you love God, then you must love my people. And if you don't love my people, then He's saying you don't really love me. I've already referenced my lovely wife over there, and if He said, hey man, John, I like you. You're great. I don't know if this beard thing's doing a whole lot, but there's nothing we can do about it. I like my beard, so it's staying. But you say, hey man, I like you, you're great. But your wife, man, I just can't stand it. Now, this scenario has never happened in reality. Now, maybe the other way around, that's happened on several different occasions, but it's never happened this way. But you said, man, you're great. I love you. But your wife, I just rubbed me the wrong way. I'd say, hey, man, I'm sorry. We can't be friends. To love me is to love my wife. And to love my wife is to love me, right? We are one flesh. She is my bride. If you don't love her, and you don't really love me. This is what Jesus is saying. If you love me, you'll love my people. And when you love God, which means obeying His command, you love God's people, and you believe in Jesus, rest assured, you are born again. And you can take great comfort in this passage. You don't have to ask Jesus into your heart 1,000 different times. That you are born again. Let's look at the second point. See, those who are born again, those who are born of God, overcome the world. See this in verse 4 through 5. As for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And who is it that overcomes the world? Except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. The overcomes and the word victory are the same word with a little bit of modification. And in the original language, the word is nike, which means to conquer or to have victory. Now, you're really familiar with that word nike because you see it on your shoes all the time. They call it Nike, right? Means to have victory, to conquer. I don't know if anybody's wearing it. You can say amen if you want. I don't know. But see, the word carries the idea of continual, certain victory over the world. We understand throughout the rest of Scripture that the world is Satan's worldwide system of deception and wickedness, full of lies and temptations. And every one of us have experienced this world, right? We've been hurt by this world. We've been tempted and fooled and deceived by this world that Satan rules. The Bible says if you are a child of God, then you are a victor. You have victory over this world, continual victory over this world. Amen. Now, I don't know if I should admit this here. I'm a little worried. But I like college football. I'm a big college football guy. Amen. But wait before I don't know. Make sure nobody throws anything at me. But University of Arizona is not my favorite team. Now wait. It could get there. It could get closer. But I'm from Pensacola, Florida. And so I grew up, I'm a big Florida Gator fan. All right. And let's be honest. If you follow sports at all right now, you know the Florida Gators have stunk for a long time. And that's tough as a Florida Gator fan. And so sometimes I'll watch the games and the seasons and I'll just be getting more and more depressed. We hadn't had a quarterback since Tim Tebow, who I love. And so when I get real down, I'll do this, because I'm a real fan. I have championship DVDs. When we won the championship, and I'll pop in one of those DVDs and it warms my heart up a little bit. And here's the great part about it. I can watch the game. I can watch every aspect of it. When our team's doing good, I say, yeah, woo, all right, victory. I can do that. And then when our team does bad and we throw our ball to the wrong team and we start going backwards, it doesn't faze me all that much. You know why? I know who wins. When the time's getting close and the score is not where I want it to be, I'm still not that worried because I know who wins. And when we win at the end of it, I celebrate just like I celebrated the first time. And you know what? Brothers and sisters, we know who wins. But the Bible says that Jesus Christ already won the victory for you and I 2,000 years ago Jesus Christ came and he lived and he died for you and me. And he died the death that you and I could not die. He lived the life that you and I could not live. And he died for you and for me. And 3 days later, he came back from the dead victorious. And so you and I, as children of God, live victorious Christian's lives in Christ. Believers don't have to bow to sin, lose to guilt, live selfish, self-focused lives. We are freed from sin, Satan, and self. We are not victims, losers, wimps, doormats, or fools. We are victors. And that's the part where you say, amen, amen, amen. That's right. You see, in verse 5, we see that we overcome. We become overcomers by placing our faith in Jesus. Verse 5, and he repeats this for emphasis. He says, who is that overcomes the world? Except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Through faith, we share in Christ's victory over the world. We won it with salvation when we trusted Jesus Christ, who repented and turned from our sins, and we won victory over this world, over death, and over Satan. And we win it every time we pick Jesus over sin, every time we pick Jesus over this world, and every time we pick Jesus over ourselves, we walk in victory. Amen. See, faith is believing and acting like God is telling the truth. See, victorious faith is the result of maturing love. The more love you have for the Savior, the more trust you have for the Savior. And the more trust you have for the Savior, the more victory you have in your life. We are not to place our faith in ourselves and our own tenacity and how much faith we have, or faith in faith, which is what a lot of people have. We are to place our faith in Jesus Christ. You see, it is the object of our faith that gives us strength, not our own abilities, not our own strength or tenacity. It is what Jesus has done. It is the object of our faith that gives us strength, that gives us victory. It's only by placing our faith in him that we have that victory. Driving through Tucson, there's a lot of beautiful car dealerships here. I like that. Where I'm at in Fort Sumner, there's no car dealership. There's just a lot of cows. And so here's the deal. If you go to one of these car dealerships, maybe you see one of these cars, like, woo, woo, looks good. Shiny, fast, I like the leather seats, and you might even open up the hood and take a look inside, and then you can get to drive it around like you own it. Guy gets inside there, he's telling you all the good things about it. He's like, all right, I can handle that. You could take it in, and you could maybe even kind of be daydreaming about how you would do this, how you would do that, how your friends would think about what you look like driving this car, but that car is not yours, is it? You can want it, you can wish for it, you can talk about it. Until you sign the dotted line, that car is the dealership. There's a lot of people that like a lot of things about Jesus, but they don't like Jesus. They like heaven. That sounds really good. Eternal life, no pain, no suffering, never die again. I mean, that sounds pretty good. I like it. Salvation, forgiveness. I've done a lot of bad things, so I get forgiven for that. Hey, man, I'll take that. But until you have placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, friend, that you are not a believer. You can like all the things about Jesus, but you need Jesus. And when you have Jesus, then you have victory. See, through Jesus, you can overcome your past, your doubt, crippling sin, trials, and the enemy himself because of one of the major themes of the book of Revelation is victory. Revelation's hard to understand in a lot of ways. It's got a lot of strange symbolism in it. Hard to see what's happening there. But if you look closely, one of the major themes of Revelation is victory. And people from all around the world, when their team wins and when they do good, what do? Throw their hands up in victory. And the Bible said that there will be a time, that there will be a day when people from every tribe, every nation, every tongue will raise their hands in victory. Not in celebration of ourselves, but in celebration of our great and awesome God. And we will celebrate our Savior. We will celebrate the Lamb of God that died for us, that bought us victory with His blood. And I look forward to that day. See, believers live a victorious life by constantly placing their trust in Jesus Christ. As we move into the invitation time today, this is the challenge of God's Word. Friend, do you love God's people? Do you love them? Maybe not perfectly, but is there a lifestyle of love for God's people? Are you one of those people who makes all the excuses, tries to separate God and Jesus and His bride? And friend, it can't be done. Do you love God's people? Do you see God as only your judge and not as your Father? I know a lot of believers struggle, because they just know everything they do that God is waiting to just zap them, to beat them, to bring them down. They don't realize that God loves them. As a Heavenly Father, He is proud of them and the work they do in Christ Jesus for His sake and for His glory. Do you need to know that today, friend? That God is proud of you? Don't get me wrong. When we do wrong and we sin, a good Father is going to discipline His children and bring us back. But your Father, your Heavenly Father, is pleased with you. So you need to love and embrace that love this morning. And I ask you, friend, are you living in victory? Is your life, your Christian walk, characterized by victory? Victory over sin. Victory over depression and despair and frustration and fear. Are you living in victory? Are you living in guilt and shame of the past? Make no mistake, friend, that's not from God. That's from the devil. He wants you to wallow in the past. Christ wants you to move you forward to glory, increasing glory. Are you living in victory? No. Today's the day. Say, Lord Jesus, I want to celebrate the victory that you've already given me. I want to live as a victor, no longer a victim. I'm going to pray. Music team's going to play. I'm going to be down here if you'd like to pray with me, or if you'd like to pray at the altar. We'll spend a couple moments with the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for who you are. Lord, thank you that you are a better Father than we ever could be. Well, thank you that you've made us your children, not because of works that we've done, but because of grace. Help us to love your children, your bride. Help us to embrace your love, but help us to live in victory. Love you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.